Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
William Carey University Athletics.
Every sport you find exciting.
Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
This is Crusader Talk.
Crusader Talk.
We're covering everything William Carey University Athletics. From the field to the court and the diamond. On Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
Well, happy Independence Day to you all. It's by the sheer grace of God that we're able to broadcast to you. And I truly mean that. I mean, we have fought through heck and back trying to get this thing done today to try to get you some content talking about William Carey Athletics. To be fully transparent with you, both Josh and I have some vacations and all that stuff coming up. So, we're going to take a week off coming up, so this is going to be a double dip episode for both the Monday before the 4th and after the 4th, depending on when you're listening on Super Talk Hattiesburg or when you're tuning in on the podcast platform. But pre-recording today, but some good content to get to. I'm Caleb Hamill. He's Josh West, and we're happy to have you with us. Josh, first of all, any big fun plans for the 4th coming up for you and the family? I know you're about to take a trip.
Yeah, so we'll be traveling for the couple days prior to the 4th, and then over 4th of July weekend, my son will have a friend in town. We'll probably do some barbecue, hit the pool, stay with hang out with the in-laws and the family and the nieces and nephews, and just have a good time, just rest. And I feel like that for those that are catching this on July 7th, I feel like that's to me, and I don't know about you, it kind of feels like the official start of the buildup towards fall. It does July 7th feel like that for you this year?
I mean, I would say like anything that's got July labeled on it, a first full week of July really sure. Feels like it's that final month countdown till August when all the athletics kick into gear. Because, I mean, think about it. We mentioned it last podcast that August is when we start soccer and volleyball, and it's on. Not to mention high school football and all that we're affiliated with, but once it kicks into gear, it does not stop until June.
Well, you go right into soccer and volleyball, and I have really been enjoying, trying to stay sharp, get sharp, if you will, to be ready to fill in for you for soccer this fall. Have had a lot of fun with HFC. William Carey alum Christina Salmon opened up with a goal this past weekend against the LA Crew Rush out of Lafayette. She caught it kind of at the top right corner of the 18. More like the penalty area. Kind of the top corner of the penalty area, the 6, and turned her around her left shoulder and just absolutely crushed the ball and was able to bang it in off the opposite left post, inside of the left post. One of the most impressive goals that I've ever seen from her. And, we've shared goals with one another. We've covered her a lot. She led the country in scoring last year. That was as good as I've seen. So I'm excited to see what she does at the professional level, at the international level. And there was some other great plays in that match. So I have kept the appetite going and have gotten a little bit of a fill of it over the summer. And so I am ready to see these Crusaders. I was joking with Virginia Mesa, who was actually officiating that match, who was one of the side officials in that match. And I was saying, look, hey, we need 25 goals out of you next year. And she said, no, not enough. I said, 35? She said, yeah, 35. 35 sounds like a good number. But the even better part of that story is I said, hey, how's your ankle? She said, oh, it's great. I'm good. I said, are you training, already? And she is. She's getting built up for the July 27th start of fall camp. So let's put that in perspective. For those that are listening to this on July 7th, that is less than 3 weeks until they open up preparation for the fall season, which is in August. I mean, so it's right on top of us.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's going to be crazy, the hectic countdown to the days of when we actually begin the season. Because like you said, it's a quick waterfall right down the river once we get to about a month out. We start talking to each coach of Coach Shirley for volleyball, Coach Farrell and Coach Owens on the men's and women's soccer sides. And then any other players that we decide to get to along the way, where we're just, you know, previewing, and all of a sudden, bam, it's there. And it sneaks up on you every year because the summer just flies by. And it helps to fly by when you have some stuff to talk about. And that's, you know, one thing that we definitely do have today. As last week when we came on Monday, news had dropped that Xavier is joining the Southern States Athletic Conference. And we were lucky enough last week to talk to Commissioner Hall after we had gotten done pressing record. So we got a segment put in with him that we will be playing for you in the second segment of today's episode. So we look forward to hearing his words again, because it's an exciting time in the Southern States. And Josh, I think number one, because not only is it a new team in the conference, but hey, it's one that's west of Georgia.
Yeah. Yes, yeah, certainly. You know, we're very proud of the Western Division of the Southern States Athletic Conference. So many great rivalries with Loyola, with Mobile, with Faulkner, with Cary, with Tennessee Southern. Now you throw Xavier into that mix. I mean, this is just a really match made in heaven, especially from the basketball standpoint. I know that's what you'll hear in the next segment. You'll hear talk about how it makes what is already a strong basketball league, in particular a very strong men's league, even stronger, but much needed depth on a year in, year out basis on the women's side as well. It was Xavier who ended that perfect season for the William Carey ladies in the second round of the tournament last year in New Orleans. And so, you know, that's fresh on our minds. And to be able to have them in a home and home every year, what that's going to do for RPI, not only in basketball, but in some of the other top sports as well, and the strength of schedule, the ease of travel, the affordability of travel, Caleb, with how expensive everything yes. is getting, this is just, it's a slam dunk.
Did you hear the stat that I think it was Bert that was telling me about it? Maybe it was Coach Hallford. About how many thousands of dollars Cary spent in charter buses last year? Did you ever hear that figure?
No. Do you know that? Is that a figure that is for public consumption?
I will say.
Or can you just say it's a high figure?
I will say it is a high figure that is sub seven figures, but it ain't by much.
Okay. Well, I will say this. And this is something that I think when you go into the larger levels, the Division I levels and so forth, these are kind of known knowns. It's no big secret as to how much the travel budgets are and how expensive that is. But years ago, and when I say years ago, let's just say approximately 10 years ago, you know, Southern Miss, it would be nothing for Southern Miss in a given year to spend more than $7 million on travel. Now that's plane tickets, that's accommodations, that's food, that's all that goes into that. So that's why Southern Miss was so excited to switch conferences, to have a regional fit, something that Cary's been able to enjoy for a long time. And so, you know, it's what that's I think why when we look at some of the odd realignments at other levels of college athletics, we can breathe so much easier knowing that what is going on in the NAIA, and help me here, Caleb, what is the slogan? The right way, right?
In the NAIA now? Yeah.
What? New marketing, the right way. So many of the things that are going on in the NAIA right now.
The right way to play. Like,
the right way to play. It with the regional rivalries and the regional leagues and the accessibility for fans, I think that it is a product that fans are going to be A, drawn to for the first time, and B, drawn back to because of how good Cary is competing for championships, not only in the conference, but competing for it on a national level. And then the affordability as a fan to be able to, you know, buy a season ticket or buy a season pass for a sport, to know that dollars are going to be stretched a little bit more, so to speak, and used very judicially in really, really smart ways. I know for me personally, that's something I'm looking forward to when I want to invest in young people and be able to help and to do that. That's something that's attractive to me.
Yeah. And not only is Xavier going to be good to have as a closer opponent, which I would love for in the future, even more locale on this side of the conference, but you know, beggars can't be choosers in that regard, but still it is a great step in the right direction as the SSAC moves on from Middle Georgia State, who will be going to the NCAA, unless something really random happens and that doesn't go through, and Xavier will be added to the conference. Now, that said, I do have some questions as to whether or not that's going to affect some things down the road with bids for both baseball and softball and other sports as well, because we are still looking into what will it be as far as a final total on the year, because Xavier is not joining immediately starting next year. And our assumption is Middle Georgia State is gone as of the start of this academic slash athletic year. So we could have the SSAC short a team for 1 year and then they boost it right back up the next year. We'll see how that affects things going down the road. But up next, our interview with Commissioner Mike Hall. That's next as we continue on a Crusader Talk.
You're listening to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
At Crusader Talk, we love to fulfill on our promises. We told you last week we were going to have Commissioner Hall on, and we are bringing him to you as we have got a lot of moving and shaking going on in the Southern States Athletic Conference. Commissioner Hall, been a long time since you were last with us. Glad to have you back on the air. I think, looking back, one, we had a different co-host. It wasn't Josh, it was Ben with me, and I think it was ahead of Kerry hosting the SSAC baseball tournament. If people could believe that, that was 3 years ago. So we're happy to have you back in a little bit more relaxed of a setting. We're not all gearing up for a busy time of baseball. But I feel like it's always busy in the world of college athletics, especially with the SSAC, summer or no summer.
Absolutely. First of all, it's good to be back. I've been on several times for the basketball tournament. And yes, I remember the baseball visit. But yes, we're very excited about what's going on. We're adding some new members. We're also getting ready to embark on a new partnership with Urban Edge Network. And so it is a busy summer. We're going to take a little bit of vacation next week. But yes, we're at it full bore.
Yeah, a well-deserved one as well. So I'm going to start off with some of the individual things you just pointed out. I think the biggest headline for most people was the announcement of Xavier joining the conference. There had been some back-channel conversations about that possibly happening, and then the vote happened in the most recent summer meetings for the conference. And I guess my question for you, just to kind of start it off with, is how did this begin as a conversation of bringing in Xavier? And how is now the proper time to induct them in and bring them in for the 2026-2027 year as full members?
Okay, well, it's a long story, but I'll tell you as briefly as I can. So 13 years ago when I started as the commissioner, there was talk that Xavier was going to be joining our conference. And the previous commissioner didn't have everything properly vetted, and one thing led to another, and they did not join at that time. I reached out to them about 2 or 3 years later, a previous athletic director, a previous president. We were very, very close to getting them to join. And once again, they just decided that they probably should just stay put and not consider us. They were concerned about their current conference and them sort of being the one of the outstanding leaders of that conference. If they would have left, that conference might have dissolved because of their strong leadership. So they passed. We keep in contact. That's just sort of my philosophy. I keep in contact. I see people at meetings and NEIA meetings. And so this actually happened out of the blue back in March. Pat Kendrick, their athletic director, called me, said that she would like to talk to me about the SSAC and, you know, our reputation of being one of the I'm bragging with one of the best conferences. And she said, I'd like to have you come and visit our campus. When would you be available? Well, I actually came right after the track championship at Hattiesburg this past April. And I carved out 2 days, drove from there, from Hattiesburg to New Orleans. We had dinners together, lunches with the coaches. I met with the entire athletic department. I met with their vice president. I met with pretty much everybody that was available. And everything clicked and everything, progressed very, very well. They made application. I went through our processes and procedures to get the membership committee to take my recommendation on my visit alone instead of sending someone to their campus, because Xavier is a strong NAIA member and they have a good reputation. And so I was able to get everything done, process with their application, and get it voted on at the council president's meeting or board of presidents meeting on June 4th in Montgomery at our annual meeting. So Xavier and the SSAC, Matt Hicks, my senior associate commissioner, they just agreed today to be the day that it would be announced. So I'm very, very excited. They're a top program in the NAIA. They finished in the top 25 in the Learfield Cup. They have some very, very strong programs. I believe William Carey would remember the basketball game this past March. They had to travel to Xavier, and unfortunately for William Carey, Xavier ended their season after a 25-1 run or something like that. So they're going to be a great addition. They're also going to be a great travel partner for Loyola. So when teams come to New Orleans to compete in sports like volleyball and in sports like men's and women's basketball, and even softball, probably William Carey and Xavier would be travel partners. So when a team comes to the west side to play William Carey and Xavier, they would play two games at Xavier on a Friday and two games at William Carey on a Saturday, or vice versa. So it's a very, very good fit geographically. It's a strong addition. I've gotten several text messages today congratulating us on getting Xavier, and I'm very, very excited. And we also went ahead and moved their indoor track and their cheerleading into our conference next year, because they did not have a solid conference championship opportunity.
Commissioner Josh West here. You mentioned that basketball game, and that was certainly a treat for me to be able to go down there and cover the Crusaders in New Orleans at that beautiful venue that they have there in New Orleans. But I just can't help but think about the ever-budding rivalries between, because of their such geographical rivalries. Mm-hmm. How much did that come up in conversation about how much Xavier enjoyed the just very competitive rivalries from a fan standpoint as well with the Loyolas, the Mobiles, and the Careys and so forth?
Yeah, it definitely came into play. They played one Loyola played Xavier one game, and now they'll be playing them twice every year. And I think they're geographically 3 or 4 miles apart. And yes, Carey and Mobile have been playing Xavier along with Loyola for many, many years, so that's good. They know the school, they know the level that they play at, and I've always believed that iron sharpens iron. And so when we add somebody like this, it's going to create everybody else to sort of pick it up a notch. And I'm very, very excited about what that'll do. If you recall, last year we had 6 teams make the NAIA men's basketball tournament, and we had 4 make the women's basketball tournament. And Xavier is going to be right there, vying for one of those bids, or an at-large bid, or a conference championship. And I think that will that will do good things for our conference from a strength of schedule standpoint, from an exposure standpoint. And I just think there's everything's good about it.
I'm just so excited to have a new team in the conference that is west of Georgia. That's been our running gag. It's been fun to see the conference morph and change over the years. But man, it just seems like that travel budget just grows and grows every year. Glad to have another somewhat local team in the conference. Commissioner Hall joining us here on Crusader Talk. And now I want to point out another thing that you had brought to the table at the start of this segment, and that was the other deal that kind of commenced over the SSAC meetings over the summer, and that was the addition of the Urban Edge Network, who's been a supporter in streaming the NAIA National Championships for the last year or two, and now they will be bringing the SSAC Championships, which had been previously behind paywalls and have been a little bit harder to access, and now it's changing the game, Commissioner.
Yes, first, like you said, it's going to be free to our conference championship patrons, and it's also going to generate a lot more advertising dollars for our conference. It's going to probably triple or maybe even quadruple the amount of revenue that we as a conference generate through this Urban Edge agreement for our conference championships. But more importantly, it's also going to generate some significant dollars for each of our member schools. They will also be able to do their broadcasting. It's not going to disrupt their current program. If you're on YouTube or if you're on Huddle or whatever you're using, you can continue to do that. You just add these different media contacts and these media outlets to it, and it's going to have some new commercials that haven't been seen previously, and it's going to be a very, very good situation. We're also planning on using this to enhance our broadcasting. We're asking all of our schools to shore up their cameras, shore up their broadcasting, and to take steps in the right direction that way. And we're providing assistance in those areas. So William Carey already does a fine job with their broadcasting, but there might be some things that Urban Edge can do to help strengthen even the broadcast that William Carey does. So it's going to be great for exposure. It's going to be great for more of a professional broadcast, and it's going to be great for revenue potential for member schools and the conference office.
Well, Commissioner, we appreciate you joining us here. Two big headlines here over the summer with Xavier joining and also the Urban Edge Network becoming partners with the Southern States Athletic Conference, and a whole lot more likely to come in the next few years. We look forward to visiting with you, as the landscape continues to change. And we appreciate all of your hard work and leadership throughout the ever-changing landscape of college athletics. We look forward to visiting with you again soon.
Well, thank you very much for having me, and thanks for reaching out to me.
All right. That is Commissioner of the SSAC, Mike Hall, joining us on Crusader Talk. Got more coming up with you, so stay with us here as you listen to Crusader Talk.
Tuned in to Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, back here on Crusader Talk. Good conversation with Mike Hall, Commissioner of the SSAC. And so excited to have Xavier in the conference, really. And I'm not just saying that. That's a blossoming team. They have grown in their number of athletic teams that they have fielded. And they're pretty good. They finished top 25 Learfield Director's Cup. And lately, I mean, Josh, one of the things we've talked about before is the fact that they've just recently added soccer. They've already made a pretty big splash there. I'm really excited to see Coach Ducote and her girls come back to Hattiesburg for some matches in the future, because that was those have been some fun ones over the last few years, both in the first weekend or whatever week of the season and the opening round. Got to see them recently. So it's just so fun to see good competition come at a decent locale.
Yeah, I mean, they're not quite William Carey swimming, Caleb.
As far as a right out of the gate
Carey
start.
Swimming for the inaugural season. But no, I mean, what William Carey swimming did is you know, borderline unprecedented. I mean, it's remarkable to have national champions right out of the gate. But – No, you're exactly right. I mean, Xavier, Louisiana, to come in and to make such an impact on us. I mean, they were so engaging. They were magnetic. You couldn't help for pull for them when they were not playing the Crusaders. And so now to have them representing the Southern States Athletic Conference is going to be tremendous. And then I think about some of the other sports to where they haven't had some of the success, like a baseball where they have struggled as of late. Being in now such a great baseball conference, Caleb, that has to help recruiting, doesn't it?
Yeah, I would say so. And it's interesting because they're going to be right up against Loyola as far as a, you know, not to say it's a recruiting ground that they're in a battle for, because let's face it, the population size in New Orleans is enough to support the two, in addition to UNO and others out there, but also, you know, take them to account that they're not just recruiting New Orleans. It's not like William Carey just recruits Hattiesburg either. So that recruiting field is big enough for the two of them and then some. So I do think that it'll open up for them just a little bit, but I'm excited to see how they shift here going forward. And what I mean by that is that they have not been prowess in baseball as of late. They play in a decent conference in the Red River. They just have not been the one that shines over there. Now, I think given their location and given who they will play and the eyes that will be on them, I think there's nowhere to go but up, to be honest. Now, the only thing that's kind of against them is facilities. I believe Loyola's in the same boat. Now, this is the problem of not traveling with baseball as much. I don't get to get all these stories, you know, fact-checked and, you know, have firsthand accounts of it, but I'm pretty sure that they do not have their own baseball field that they play at, that they have either a designated spot that they go to or a couple designated New Orleans area facilities that they will use as a host venue, which is not uncommon in the NAIA. But all that said, hasn't stopped Loyola, who made it to the NAIA World Series this past year. And I don't think it'll stop Xavier from at least trying to start off strong here as they make their way into the SSAC, which, by the way, again, it's not going to start this next year, but it will occur for the 2026-27 athletics year. And that's most sports, except for just a couple, competitive cheer and then some track and field.
Yeah, didn't have a home for track and field and indoor. So that gives them an immediate opportunity to jump right into the league. And I would expect them to do very well in that sport immediately on the track side. And I'm thinking about the other thing I was thinking about as you were talking there, Caleb, is just New Orleans as a underrated college town. It's obviously not a town. It's one of the most, if not the most unique cities in the entire country, if not the entire world. And so with that said, I never really thought of it as a college town, but when you were rattling off Loyola, UNO, you didn't even drop in Tulane.
But now you Suno, have, of course, Dillard. Yeah. I mean, all
right.
Of these.
And so, and I would say the one that has leaned into the popularity of New Orleans the best in recent years has been Tulane. Mm-hmm. Tulane, in terms of somebody who has expanded their reach on a national level. Now, obviously, we're not comparing apples to apples, right? That's a Division I program. With higher resources for athletics, more scholarships and so forth. But Loyola's had continued success. Xavier's had success. UNO's having more success. So with Xavier getting more regional rivalries, with the accolades that Xavier has in terms of academics, with their medical, in particular pharmacy, and the schools that they have there, and in so many areas turning out more graduates in their respective categories than anybody in the country. It's really good to see a school that's on such solid footing, because we're seeing schools even very close to us in different, even within the state of Mississippi, dropping sports and so forth for various reasons, and a lot of those financial. To see a school that is on such a solid footing at the moment is part, again, just more of the excitement.
Yeah, and Xavier and William Carey are no strangers to each other when it comes to being in the same conference. They were both part of the GCAC back in the 80s. Xavier actually stayed in it a lot longer than William Carey did. Carey jumped out in 2010 to join the Southern States. Xavier stayed in until just a few years ago. 2021 is when they transitioned to the Red River. Now they're hopping back out to join the SSAC, which, by the way, they've already been affiliate members for a while with tennis. That's one thing that's kind of gone under the radar a little bit. But a restored rivalry, perhaps, in William Carey getting to face Xavier, and especially in the game of basketball. I think we've mentioned it a couple times, but it's kind of special for me and you because we've both been there. That was my first ever basketball game to call for William Carey, was at Xavier on the road during COVID. I was calling through a mask. Coach English was trying to coach through a mask. At one point in the game, he threw his mask in the air and it landed on my equipment. Can't imagine why he would be frustrated to that point. Coach English, you know, he's always such a mild mannered person, never had a stray word with anybody. We love you, Coach. but it was a memory for me, not just in that, but I kind of felt cheated because I saw the venue that surrounded me and knew that there was potential there, and you got to see it in more of its true form. And that is a great basketball town, venue, and community that support it. And they're good teams typically too, especially with lately women's basketball. We saw what they were able to do with William Carey last year. Which, by the way, we talked between segments that you had to make a correction there. That was the second loss of that stellar season last year for William Carey. Blue Mountain Christian had the first loss.
Yeah, completely. Just
we all try to block out that Southern States Athletic Conference tournament.
Right. Rightfully so, that I blocked out that loss to Blue Mountain, who, oh, by the way, got hot, won the tournament, and then almost went out and won their opening round game in Oklahoma in what would have been one of the upsets of that opening round. But with that said, going back to the fan base and the facility, one of, if not the best in all of NAIA, in terms of Xavier's facility, that is a Division I basketball facility. There are some Division I's that would love to have that facility.
It's called the Convocation Center, right?
Yes. Yes. The Convocation Center, where they have the slam dunk and 3-point shootout when New Orleans hosts the NCAA Final Four in New Orleans. The Convocation Center will host some of the other events and some of the parties and different, you know, other events of that week leading up to those Final Four games. And the fan base, I think that's the best fan base in the Southern States Athletic Conference when they come in, but Carey can get it back. I think that's not, you know, I think Carey's in their heyday was a bigger fan base. And I think that what Ben and what marketing and with the growth of the school, I think you're looking at, you know, hopefully what we want to see, depending on the year, it's going to be 1 and 1A in terms of basketball fan bases for William Carey. And so you'll have Carey and Xavier right there in that 1-2 punch, 1-2 mix, if you will. So to get those type of rivalries and to have Carey travel really well when they have those matchups, and I hope to see Carey fans travel really, really well when the men do well and go down there and play, that's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, could be a lot of fun indeed. All right, so kind of in that vein of basketball, we got a couple minutes left in this segment. Big story in our community over the past week involving a legendary coach that had just recently retired from Southern Miss, and that's the passing of former Lady Eagles coach Joy Lee McNillis. She passed away, I believe it was Tuesday. I'm trying to get it all. You know,
Tuesday the 24th.
Yeah, Tuesday the 24th. And it just kind of, not to say it was expected, but at the same time, it was a pretty quick decline after the season had ended for her. You went to the funeral to, you know, reunite with some of the former players and also pay respects to the family. Just a huge loss, not just for Hattiesburg, but the basketball community of the United States as well.
Yes, it was. And Joy was one of a kind. And current voice of the Lady Eagles, Jason Baker, said she did it the McNellis way. She was relentless, tenacious, fearless, second to none work ethic. She loved the Lord. She loved her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She loved people. She was so dynamic as a mother, as a wife, as a teammate, as a daughter. She just impacted everybody. And over the course of a span of just a couple of years, my wife was left thinking about her brothers who lost a father, who lost a mother, and lost their baby sister in the span of just a couple of years. Mm-hmm. So certainly keep the McNellis family in your thoughts and prayers. But the big takeaway for me was that everybody left with a little bit of a responsibility that they smiled. They felt good knowing that we all know that we carry a piece of coach with us. And we've got to take some of those great life lessons and great things that we learned from being a part of her program and pay that forward and carry that on. And so Coach McNellis will live on and everybody who had a chance to interact with her.
Yeah. She's one that had the number of William Carey anytime that those two battled out there on the hardwood of Crusaders and Lady Eagles. But man, what a legacy she leaves behind. And again, like you pointed out, Josh, our thoughts and prayers are with her entire family. For all that they've been through over the years with her sickness and now her passing. Thanks, Coach Joy Lee McNellis, for many, many years of great service to basketball. We'll be right back with the final segment. This is Crusader Talk.
Talking everything William Carey University Athletics. This is Crusader Talk on Super Talk Hattiesburg 97.3 and supertalkhattiesburg.com.
All right, final segment. Again, thanks so much to Commissioner Hall joining us earlier in the program. As always, catch that on demand wherever you get your podcasts. If you're listening on supertalkhattiesburg.com or Supertalk Hattiesburg 97.3, just go to the Supertalk Hattiesburg website or even carryathletics.com. There are links to it on both sides. You can find it there if you're not a big podcaster or if you are proficient or even an expert in listening to podcasts. You already know what you're doing. In fact, this is probably how you're listening to us already. But if not, just search for Crusader Talk and you'll find us there. Yeah, Josh, you had a great idea last week whenever we actually recorded that interview with Commissioner Hall. And that was, we could have released that as a complete bonus episode, like a little bonus feature, as so many different podcasts do. And I just did not have that thought in my head as we recorded it because we simulated it live. And had we done just a plain Jane interview, that would have been perfect for everybody this week. But nevertheless, I'm still glad to at least feature him in this episode today for everybody here because it's been a little while since we've had him on.
Well, hey, look, for the next time, right, as we continue to make this bigger and better and get more guests on and as we do our kind of where are they now segments and some of the things that we'll add in or are adding in and will continue to add into the future. It'll be a great way to do that.
Yeah. Got a couple more that we're looking into hosting in the future. Didn't get one on this week just because our schedules have been crazy. And in fact, just choosing the time at which to record this episode has been a whirlwind to say the least. So, we took it on the chin in that regard today, but we will be looking ahead to the future to try to get some people featured in upcoming episodes. So that'll be good for you. Also, Josh, you were telling me that we are looking into possibly getting Coach Garriga on for a near future episode. Is that right?
Yeah. So we're kind of, penciling in for July, and it's going to be filling up fast. So again, this is a two-parter, whether you're listening on the 30th or you're listening on the 7th of July. So we're on Coach Garriga's radar for the 14th to come in and talk all things William Carey women's basketball and to get all of the inside info as to how she has rounded out her staff, just made a new hire. We'll be talking about that. And then I also had a chance to catch up a good 15, 20 minutes by phone with Coach Barry Farrell and told him we wanted to have him on. He's headed over for a little R&R, headed across the pond to take in the open at a practice round, Royal Port Rush, try to knock his handicap down a few strokes in golf. And then we're going to get him fully rested, ready to go just on the doorstep of another fall camp opening up at the end of July. Clayton Rush was telling me over the past weekend that July 27th, I made reference to that earlier in the show, is going to be when the women open up their camp. And so it's going to be right there in that same type of window that the men will start up as well. So looking at Coach Farrell for around the 21st. So we got a lot to look forward to in the coming episodes.
Yeah, it should be fun with that. And just thinking back, I saw some social media posts just in regards to women's basketball. They held their first ever, or inaugural, whatever they call it, kids camp. I saw some of the pictures and videos from that. It seemed like they had a good showing and a good time out there with some of the players. And then some of the youngsters that are also trying to train up their arms and legs for the game of basketball in the coming years. Do you see that?
I did not see that. I did not see that. Find it. But this is more reason why we need a Crusader in a massive foam suit with a big old massive foam shield and a foam sword and a foam helmet fumbling around out there trying to bounce a basketball with big old foam hands and foam shoes and laughing it up with the kids and rolling around with them. We got to make that happen, Ben. I am the big cheerleader for the Crusader mascot. That's got to happen.
Now, my big thing is we need to bring back the old halftime entertainment thing that really put Cary basketball on the map there for a few years. Do you remember back when we were featured on SportsCenter for that one cheerleader that would make the half court shot doing a flip?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Like it seems like it was so long ago, which it kind of was. I mean, it was almost a decade, if not more. But yeah, to have features like that, to get Cary that national recognition could be cool again. So maybe if we ever do get that in-person mascot, maybe they find a way to do a flip and a half-court shot.
Oh, that'd be tremendous.
Well, we got to train them up in all kinds of different ways, not just the team, but also the entertainment and support and spirit staffs, all kinds of different things to help make the world
I'm all for it. I'm all for it. I know Ben and I will be putting our heads together again about just more fan interactive experiences with the players and, you know, opportunities to get local kids and their families at a very young age exposed and, you know, get them plugged into the William Cary family. It'll be a lot of fun to see where this thing's going in the next few years as facilities expand, campus expands, student body expands. They add more dorms. I mean, we think we don't recognize it now because we don't. When you bring people back now, they don't recognize it. However, really won't recognize it, I think, in another 5 to 10 years.
Yeah. Golly. Well, vacation's on the horizon for both me and you, Josh. Is there Buc-ee's in your future?
Oh, Buc-ee's will happen. Some sliced brisket. Sliced brisket.
Not the chopped. Okay.
Mixed pecans, cashews.
Yes.
Almonds. I'm getting one or two trays of those, and then Buc-ee's chips. That at a minimum.
Don't forget the beaver nuggets. Got to get those beaver nuggets.
I pass that out as gifts.
Okay. There you go. Well, I found out on my trip to Gatlinburg, it's only 10 extra minutes with the route that we're taking to go around there, which means it'll be 40 minutes by the time we get done. But we aren't going to take that route. That's going to do it for us on this episode of Crusader Talk. Thanks so much to Commissioner Hall for joining us earlier. For our entire crew, for Josh West, I'm Caleb Hamilton. Next time, good night, God bless, go Saters.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.